tonight is I made a mistake. I made a mistake. If you're not from Alabama, you probably may not be familiar with the name Robert Bentley. Robert Bentley was a 53rd governor of Alabama, married for over five decades, active member of local church, served as a deacon, Sunday school teacher, chairman of the board of deacons four times, and on and on. His political career ended in 2017 upon his resignation after a political scandal and subsequent arrest. He threw it all away for a female staffer who was 30 years his junior. He's currently divorced and estranged from most of his family. And what is troubling is how the governor spoke about his affair. He said, quote, "I made a mistake. 2 years ago, I made a mistake," he said at a press conference. "Today, I want to apologize to the people of the state of Alabama, and once again, I want to apologize to my family. I am truly sorry, and I accept responsibility," end quote. And you know, this reminds me of another scandal that destroyed former North Carolina Senator John Edwards, who was having an affair with a staffer while his wife was dying of cancer. He also characterized it as a mistake. He said, quote, "2 years ago, I made a very serious mistake," he admitted, "a mistake that I am responsible for and no one else. I told Elizabeth about my mistake, asked her for her forgiveness, and asked God for his forgiveness. And we have kept this within our family since that time." Like Governor Bentley's admission, Senator Edwards' statement seems humble and contrite on the surface. So what's the problem? Both admitted their mistake and asked forgiveness. Well, the problem here boils down to a simple word: mistake. You know, when people refer to this kind of behavior as a mistake rather than sin, they are either consciously or unconsciously evading responsibility, the whole time claiming to accept responsibility. And the question I'd like for us to examine tonight is this: is there a difference between making a mistake and committing a sin? Our verse this evening is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. And before we turn there, let's ask the Lord to bless this time. Father, my message and my words are in your hands. I pray that you just use me as a vessel to speak your truth. Let them be true and accurate, and let them honor you. Let everyone listen, and let us all take something away from this tonight. Father, we love you, and we thank you for just this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. So 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Now you might be thinking to yourself that this verse speaks of temptation, and yet we're talking about mistakes and sin. Just bear with me and we'll tie it all together, I promise, or we won't go home, all right? You know, many people believe that making a mistake is the same thing as committing a sin. It's not the same, but the truth is, let me repeat that. Many people believe that making a mistake is the same, but they're not. Let's start by examining the word mistake, okay? So here's how the dictionary defines mistake: to blunder in the choice of, to misunderstand the meaning or intent of, or intention of, to identify wrongly or confuse with another. Now, recently, I recognized a friend at a local store, and though he had his back to me, I knew who that was, okay? And at the same time he turned around, I began to wave and say, "Hey, Joseph." And it was at that exact moment in time, precisely, that I realized who I was waving and greeting was not who I thought it was, okay? None of you have ever had that happen, right? And when you do it in front of people, the embarrassment kicks in and you wish that you could turn invisible, right? Because everybody saw and heard what you said, okay? So anyway, other examples of mistakes are when you add two and two together and you get sum of five. Now, some people would call that common core. I call it a mistake, all right? Number two, you take a right turn when you should have taken a left. That's a mistake. Three, you think someone meant something they did not. Number four, you think someone can do something that they're not able to. That's a mistake. You accidentally delete a computer file you really need. That's a mistake. And finally, you use a word like mistake to define something like sin. That's a mistake. You know, these could all be legitimate mistakes. They usually happen because we get distracted or are careless. In the Bible, if we look up the word mistake, results will vary depending on the translation that we use. But in general, in the King James, there's only one verse that really comes close to mistake, and that's Genesis 43:12. If you want to turn there, you can. I'll read it. It says, "And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight." Okay? The word oversight comes from the Hebrew word mishga, which is also used to describe a mistake. Okay? Now understand, that's the only time in the Bible that I can find that we see anywhere close to the word mistake. Okay? The truth is, people make mistakes due to human error. Okay, the term mistake implies an error in judgment, something done unintentionally. I wish that was all there was to say about mistakes, but there's one more truth regarding mistakes. It is possible that making a mistake can lead you into sin. Okay, so let's talk about the example of the accidental file deletion, because I know many of you have probably had that happen. And there's that sinking feeling that comes when you know you can't recover whatever it was that you put a lot of work into, right? How many of you ever had that happen? Yeah, absolutely. You know, we all have at one time or another. Now, was your response, "Boy, aren't these computers great? Look how convenient that delete button is"? No, it was probably more of the response that you have to the person on Ashley Phosphate that cuts you off, right? That's kind of more in line. And it's probably not, "Oh, bless your heart," right? All right. So now that we've defined mistake and given examples, let's take a look at sin, shall we? So no matter what our IQ is or how long we've been Christians or how many letters perhaps we have behind our name, we all know what sin is. Okay, but for the sake of anyone who may have crawled out from under a rock and came directly here, let's take a second and define sin, shall we? Dictionary defines sin as an offense against religious or moral law, transgression of the law of God. Yeah. So let's take a look at some examples, okay? Number one, you lie, commit adultery, steal, kill, or think about doing them. That's sin, right? We all understand that. You treat others not in the fruit of the Spirit. Number three, you claim new revelation beyond what is written. Five, you make false prophecies. That's a sin. Six, you promote or do actions that go against the precepts of the Word of God. And finally, in my list tonight, you teach false doctrine. So let's look at that last one a little bit closer. So what if a person teaches false doctrine unknowingly? Better yet, what if I were to misrepresent, not on purpose, of course, God's word? What if I teach something out of context? Is that a mistake? Well, understand there are two types of mistakes, okay? There's the one that results in nothing, and there's the other that causes harm or damage. okay? Any mistake that causes harm or damage is not a mistake, but it's negligence. And you know that is a sin, okay? If I were to teach or preach something that is opposite or not in alignment with God's word, that is a sin. And you know, unfortunately, there are people out there today in this world that are doing just that. And God help them, because they'll have to give an account for that. So no, not even if a person teaches false doctrine unknowingly, it is still a sin and must be repented of in order to be forgiven. That's why care must be exercised in teaching and preaching God's word. So the truth is, sin is more than a mistake, okay? It's a deliberate choice to do something you know is wrong. In fact, it may not be something you deliberately do. Remember, there are sins of not only commission, but sins of omission, right? If we're to put it in a nutshell, what we've learned so far about the difference between mistakes and sin, it would be this, okay? Mistakes happen by accident, and committing sins are deliberate, okay? You know, it's interesting to note that God does not really address the issue of mistakes in the Bible. As we've looked at possibly the only reference in Genesis 43, what is a fact is the word sin appears 389 times in the King James Version. And other translations have even more. God knows that people make mistakes. He knows that's a natural part of our human being. And that doesn't have to be dealt with. What has to be dealt with is our sin. So the fact is, if we add all the variations of the word sin, such as sin, sinful, sinning, sinner, sinner, sin, sins, we come up with 766. So based on just the number of times the word mistake and sin are used in the Bible, what does that teach us about the condition of man? Any hint there? Absolutely. That we as people are prone to mistakes, well, that's true. But the point is that we're sinners. And we need a Savior. So let's dig a little deeper into temptation, okay? Now we're kind of veering towards our verse for tonight. You know, every tree has roots. And if we liken sin to a tree, then the tree comes from the root of temptation. Okay, in other words, roots are to trees as temptation is to sin. All right? We need to remember that temptation in and of itself is not sinful, but it becomes sin when we allow the temptation to become action, even in our minds. Okay? Lust, for example, is a sin, even though it may never be acted upon. We know that from Matthew chapter 5. Covetousness, pride, greed, and envy are all sins of the heart. Even though they may not be apparent to anyone else, they're still sins. Okay? Mark 7, verses 21 and 22 says, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Wow. You know, when we yield to temptation, we replace the fruit of the Spirit with the fruit of flesh. Unlike a mistake, sin gives you the option to choose. Okay? Being presented with temptation forces you to think first and act second. You know, when you make a mistake, you act first, and then you think second. But the two are totally opposite. You know, we've talked about this in Sunday school. I've told you that generally people neither sin automatically nor instantaneously. There's a temptation that arises, and immediately the Holy Spirit sounds the alarm through our conscience. Then a certain amount of time passes that we have to decide whether we're going to give in to the temptation or resist. Now, you know, that time frame may only be a millisecond, or it may be minutes or possibly hours. But the point is The temptation is not automatic. It's not an automatic mechanism to sin. A choice must be made. Again, this is the difference between mistakes and sin. Committing sin can be avoided because it requires you to make conscious decisions before committing to action. Now, we try to pawn it off. Well, you know, the devil made me do it, and I couldn't help myself. But, you know, the point is, we do have a choice. Everyone has a choice. So here are a few things that we can do to ensure that we never confuse sin for mistakes. Okay? The first is we must choose our words carefully. We must choose our words carefully. You know, we must never minimize our sin by calling it a mistake. Agree with God. If He says it's a sin, don't try to downplay it. You know, euphemisms may work well in some areas of life, but not here. Let's call it what it is. Because you know what, when we start using comfortable words to describe sin, is it not easy to commit the sin? I think it is. I think we fool ourselves. We allow the enemy to come in and fool us and use us. Take responsibility for your behavior. If you have sinned, then own it. We've got a lot of people out here not owning a whole lot. Even if someone provokes you, own your part of it. You know, if they were 90% responsible, you accept 100% of your 10%. I know it's hard to do when someone cuts me off on Dorchester Road, I got to tell you. Remember, when it comes to sin, there is never a legitimate excuse. There's never a legitimate excuse. We know that. Next is acknowledge your guilt. You know, it's normal to feel guilt when you sin. In fact, you know, what are we talking about in Sunday school right now? We're talking about guilt. It's like all the other emotions were given to us by God to do what? To motivate us to do something. Motivate us to act. Guilt motivates us, right? You know, when it comes to guilt, the sooner you acknowledge your responsibility, the sooner you can resolve the problem. Never follow your confession with the word, but. This is a preface to an excuse. And what it does, it negates everything you said before that tiny three-letter word. You know, repentance is not only a change of mind, it's a change of direction. That's what the word literally means, is to turn and do the opposite. Unless you change your behavior, you haven't really repented, no matter how many tears you may have shed. You know, we can say all day long, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to let that control me. I'm not going to let this, and I'm not going to let that. But you know, the proof is in the action. James tells us in chapter 1, verse 14, he says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed." You know, a temptation is always conscious. You're aware that to give in to this thought would be a sin. We know when we're tempted. We're grown-ups. We understand exactly to do what you know to be wrong. Remember 1 Corinthians 10:33. God told you that He would not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. You know, every temptation presented to you is something you have the power to resist. Do we believe that tonight? I hope we do. How can we avoid giving in to temptation in the first place? Run. You know, Joseph is probably the greatest example of someone who did not allow the temptation to become sin. Now, if you think about that for a minute, he could have tried to rationalize, and he could have tried to talk to her, and You know, just let her know, hey, this is wrong. We, you know. But the Bible says run. Run. And he ran. You can't deal with certain things. You can't rationalize. You gotta run from it, okay? So although tempted to sexually sin, he did not give the temptation time to take root. He used his legs God gave him and physically ran. Rather than stay in a potentially dangerous situation and try to talk, reason, justify, or explain, or otherwise weaken his resolve, Joseph took off. That's wisdom. We live in a world, we think we have all the wisdom, and we can take anything on, head on. And I think sometimes we don't recognize our enemy and how crafty he is. The temptation did not lead to sin because he dealt with it in a God-honoring way. It could easily have become sin if Joseph had stayed around and tried to overcome the temptation in his own strength. You know, God's word gives us guidelines for avoiding situations that can lead to temptation. Imagine that. Imagine that for a minute. God's word has the answer that we need. It does. So let's turn to Romans chapter 13. And let's look at verses 13 and 14. I'll give you a second to get there. Romans 13, verses 13 and 14. It says, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, if we determine to, quote, make no provision for the flesh, in verse 14, we will keep ourselves out of situations that may prove to be too tempting. See, why get into a situation and have to fight your way out of it than to avoid the situation to begin with? You know, I tell my kids that all the time. It's a whole lot easier to avoid it than have to deal with the consequence that's going to come about because of it. You know, when we put ourselves in situations we know we'll be tempted, we're just asking for trouble. Okay? God promises to provide a way of escape when we're tempted. Hence the verse tonight's lesson is based on. But often the way is to avoid the situation altogether. Okay? Flee also youthful lust. 2 Timothy 2:22. You know, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, lead us not into temptation. But we have a responsibility to pay attention to the direction God is leading us and to avoid temptation wherever we can. That's our obligation. We can't just walk around haphazardly just allowing ourselves to get close to things that are going to harm us. That's dangerous. So let me ask a question. When are excuses acceptable? Well, let's start with when they're not. Okay? That'll make it easy. Excuses are not acceptable when you commit a sin. You know, I don't think God is interested in hearing excuses. But what he is interested in is forgiveness. See, making excuses is like putting the but, right? The only time excuses are acceptable is when not sin, but mistakes are made. Okay? For example, if you made the mistake of not turning off the kitchen light, you can justify why you made the mistake. You know, I forgot. Whatever the case is. Mistakes are meant to be justified because they are unavoidable. Your excuses carry no weight when you commit a sin, however. Not at all. You know, God has given you the tools to avoid committing sin. The Lord has given us Holy Spirit, His Word, spiritual mentors, and wisdom through His Word. God has removed every excuse from us for committing sin. And we can't use "the devil made me do it." Okay? If you find yourself committing sin, do not talk with God with a spirit of pride and make excuses for what you did. Okay? Humble yourself and admit. Ask forgiveness and move on. Okay? You know, at the beginning of this message, I cited two prominent men, two professing believers. And the point was not to judge them or point out their hypocrisy, but to remind ourselves that we can get comfortable with sin and we can compromise truth. I don't doubt that these, I don't know where they were. But all I know is we often do things we know better. It also reminds us of the simple truth of Proverbs 16:18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Another translation puts it this way: before destruction is pride, and before stumbling, a haughty spirit. You know, the actions of these two men were not really the point, because as Romans 3:23 reminds us, we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. What is concerning is the fact that they, along with many others, downplay sin, attempting to justify it as a simple mistake. You know, if you're tempted to say, "I'm not that bad," or "I'd never do anything like that," remember the prayer of the Pharisees in Luke 18:11, when he prayed, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust." We get the rest of the verse. Pride can make us say and do things. I pray that this has been a blessing to you tonight. We live in a world that justifies sin all the time. And because we're around the world, because we have to be in it and supposedly not of it, we can sometimes get stained. We can sometimes get dirty by that. And we have to remind ourselves, as I remind me, that danger is out there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for loving us. And Father, help us daily to be on guard, that we're always careful with what we get involved in, what we let our minds wander into. Father, help us always be in line with your word. Help us be in line with your will for our lives. And keep us safe. Father, help us to avoid things that will bring danger to our lives. Father, we just love you so much, and we want what you want for us. We want to be safe in your arms. And Father, until the day that we can be there, help us daily know, love, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.